chapter 1. We'll begin reading from verse 26. My theme this morning is servant disposition, the right response to the incarnation, and I hope to prove that through this text. Servant's disposition, the right response to the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. Verse 38. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Then Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel left her. Dear God, we thank you for your word. And as we have sung, your ancient word that is ever so true, ever so fresh. Again, as we sang, may we open our hearts to receive your word. And may you grant this request, because we pray through Christ, our Savior, our King. Amen. Now, I think that part of what we have lost as a 21st century church is the ability to feel the circumstances going on as we read God's word. The ability to, in fact, know that God was dealing with real people in real time. I think that sometimes we read God's word, especially narratives, we read it as though whatever was going on was some remote thing. Those people so different from us that we can't really identify with them. We read of them like history figures, and yes, those things happened to them, but we can't really relate with them, and perhaps the way that they responded as well. So I think that a good discipline to develop is to read God's word and acknowledge some of those things, that God was dealing with real people in real time. This is not fiction. This is God's word. And the characters that we read were real characters, real human beings. James would put it this way, that they were flesh and blood, just like us. So with that out of the way, I want us to proceed dealing with this passage in the natural way that the passage develops. This is a narrative, and so you have the narrator's comments here and there, or the narrator's narration. But this is a conversation, really, between the angel and Mary. The angel and Mary. Therefore, I have just 2 points. We will look at the angel's message to Mary. And the second point, we will look at Mary's response and make some applications. Let's note, first of all, what the narrator says and some details that the narrator gives to this passage. So the narrator says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now that little detail that the narrator adds there is important. So you notice that the angel did not come on his own accord. The angel was sent from God. In other words, he was a messenger from the Most High God himself. In other words, it is God himself who has this message to give to Mary. The angel is not coming out of his own initiative. Perhaps after the angelic meeting, if at all they have angelic meetings in heaven, then the angels decide or think it wise that they need to go and deliver this message to Mary. The narrator wants to make it very clear that what the angel has to say is coming from God himself. The angel has not come to represent himself. He has come to represent the Most High. The angel is not the topic. The angel is not the starring of the story. The angel is but just the angel, a messenger, with a message to Mary. The angel has very direct words from God to Mary. So we know that what is to come, the message that the angel will bring to Mary, is coming from God himself, the sovereign ruler of the skies himself, is coming through the angel to give this message to Mary. That's the first detail the narrator gives us. The second detail the narrator gives us is that this Mary, who is about to receive this message, was a virgin betrothed to be married to a man named Joseph. Again, this detail is important in the development of this story, because Mary was not idle. In other words, this was not some random girl with nothing to do. She was about to get married. She was busy preparing for her marriage. And some of you here can relate because you just got married a week ago. She was preoccupied with whatever preoccupies people who are about to get married. She had a plan for her life, to get married and live happily ever after. So this is the Mary, the person who is about to receive this message from the angel, and as we have noted, from God himself. Another little detail added by the narrator. He says this to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Now, when you see that name, David, you should be thinking about somebody, a very important figure in history, and that is King David. So the narrator wants to add this detail that the two people involved here are from the royal clan. They have royal blood. So those details, we should bear in mind those details as we read this story. So let's proceed then with our first point, the angel's message to Mary. What is it that we note? Observe the greeting. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Why did the angel think that Mary is indeed the favored one? Well, of course, because she has been picked from among many women, many young women in Jerusalem or Galilee. God could have picked on another one, but God chose to pick Mary. This is indeed grace. This is indeed favor. The angel, in bringing this greeting to Mary, this greeting has a tone of excitement for Mary. Now, remember, we said that this is a woman who is betrothed to be married. She has plans. She's about to get married. Doesn't the angel know that detail about Mary? Well, he does. Of course he does. He's coming from God himself, God the Most High. So he does. But the angel is of the view that this mission, this message is about to give Mary, and the choosing of Mary is a message and the choosing of favor. Mary has been favored of the Lord. God has shown grace to Mary, that Mary would be the one to carry the King himself who is about to come. That Mary would be the one to birth the Lord Jesus Christ. And according to the angel, this is but favor. This word favor is also indicating a component of God's sovereignty. That from all the options that God had, by his own will, his pleasure, he decided to pick on Mary. This is favor. This word also wants to communicate, or this greeting also wants to communicate to Mary, that it is not because you are Mary and you have done 1, 2, 3, 4 things. That's not the reason you have been picked. You have been picked because God has decided to show favor on you. God has visited you with favor. That's the reason that you have been picked. And anyone who has been picked of the Lord would identify with that greeting from the angel. That is why we Christians sing so much about the grace of God, the favor that picked us from so many people who were going to hell. Indeed, any time that God decides to choose a human being, he simply shows his favor. Any time that God picks on a person, he simply decides to do so out of his own will and pleasure. And so that's the greeting from the angel, which of course troubled Mary. And so we read Mary's response there, and the Bible says, that is in verse 29. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. We'll come to Mary later. And the angel continues. So this is the second thing I want us to note about the angel's message. He says, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. We note that the angel assures Mary that he has brought peace, or a message of peace. The angel assures Mary that he has come in peace. The angel assures Mary that the message he is giving her is one of peace. Do not be afraid. But that phrase, do not be afraid, we find it throughout scripture when an angel appears to a man. And there's that assurance, the needed assurance that must come to a man of flesh and blood, or to a person of flesh and blood, not to be afraid. Partly that's because of the glory of angels. When an angel appears to a person, that's different. You don't meet angels every day. When an angel comes to you, when an angel appears to a person, there's something out of the ordinary that is going on. You don't meet angels every day. And so that assurance, do not be afraid, was simply intended to put Mary at ease, for Mary to listen to what the angel is about to say. And then this is therefore what the angel says, for you have found favor with God, he repeats. And what's this favor? Verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. What's this favor? That you have been picked. Again, I need to emphasize that, you see, favor is undeserved. Grace is undeserved. It is when God focuses his eyes on an individual And not because of the individual, but because of God himself. And the angel wants Mary to know that. The angel wants Mary to know that she has been favored. She has been picked. And what is this favor again? That Mary will conceive in her womb and bear a son. And this son is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That Mary will have the privilege out of all the women in history and present and future, that this young woman Mary will have the privilege to house the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. This is favor. The angel continues. Look at what he says in verse 32 about this Jesus Christ who is to be born. This is what the angel says. He says, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. So the angel now adds detail to the child who was to be born through Mary. This is not an ordinary child, the angel is trying to emphasize. This child, observe the titles the angel quotes. He will be the Son of the Most High, the sovereign ruler of the skies himself, God himself, the sovereign God himself. His son is the one that will be conceived in your womb, Mary. The second detail that the angel adds, he says the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. In other words, this son who is to be conceived in your womb, Mary, will be king, is the King of Kings himself. But again, the mention of that name David should ring a bell. You are talking about the King David and the Davidic covenant that God made with David. And here is the covenant that God made with David. On your throne shall not lack a king to sit there. In other words, the angel is saying, God is about to fulfill his prophecy to David. God is about to fulfill his promise to David. God is about to fill the throne of King David. And the one to fill this throne is the one to be conceived in your womb, Mary. The angel is basically telling Mary that you have been chosen to conceive the King of Kings. This is favor. This is grace. This is a huge responsibility that the coming of the King into this world would be housed by Mary. And verse 33 wants to add a bit more detail to the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. What the angel is telling us there is that this king who is coming, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be the final fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. You had the Solomons who came. You had other kings who came after David. They all died. But this one who's coming is the final revelation. This one who's coming is the King of Kings. This one who's coming will sit on this throne forever. This one who's coming will usher in a kingdom that never ends, because the king will sit on this throne forever. That's the message that the angel brings. So before I go to my last point, looking at Mary's response, let me summarize the angel's message this way. The angel is announcing to Mary the arrival of the king, the incarnation, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in human form and as a baby is really the coming of the king. That's why we sing in some of our Christmas carols that Jesus was Lord at his birth. Because we acknowledge that this one who's coming, this baby in the manger who has been born, his existence does not start from the manger. His existence has not started in the manger. He existed before. And as John would say, it is the Word becoming flesh. This one who's coming is God himself coming in flesh. This one who is coming is the promised Messiah, the King of Israel, to reign on the throne of David forever. This is the person who is coming and the one that is celebrated when we talk about the incarnation. We are celebrating the birth of the King. Amen? We are not celebrating the birth of a baby. We celebrate birth. When a child is born, we visit the parents, we rejoice with them. And I don't know about this church, but most Baptist churches do have a baby dedication. So the baby comes in front. Again, that's another way that the church celebrates with the parents. And so we dedicate the baby, that the parents would have the strength to bring the baby in the fear and admonition of the Lord. When it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not celebrating his birth in that way. We are celebrating the coming of the King of Kings in flesh. We are celebrating God putting on human flesh. We are celebrating the ushering in of God's spiritual kingdom forever. We are celebrating God as the King gathering his subjects. We are celebrating this King who has come to conquer. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. Why? Because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Make disciples. Conquer the nations. That is what we are celebrating. In one of the songs that we sang, the verse said, he rules the world with truth and grace. We are celebrating the one who rules in a different way, who rules in righteousness because his scepter is righteousness. We are celebrating the one who has come to bring all nations together under his rule. He is not a tribal king. But a universal king. That's why some of the titles that the angel uses, Son of the Most High. Beyond God's throne, There is not another throne. When you use the word most, you have reached the end of comparison. That's the highest that there is. This is the most high throne. There's not another one to come. There's not another God out there. But this is the most high God. If indeed there be any gods anywhere, in any country, the God who is above all, the one and only true God, who is in a category of his own, this is the one coming. And so, Mary, in his response, acknowledged that message. Mary responded rightly to the message of the coming of the King of Kings, the coming of the Most High. You see, even at this stage, because of the message that Mary has been given, Mary did not think that she was going to have authority over this child in the way that a mother has authority over her child. She knew exactly. She understood the angel pretty well. She knew her role exactly. That she would be a steward of this king who is to come, or this baby who is to come. She knew that she's simply a servant who has been chosen to bear the Son of God. And so that brings me to Mary's response. Look at what she says. First of all, she wonders, of course, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. Mary knew her biology very well. She wasn't ignorant of how children are conceived. So she expresses a natural ignorance. How is this going to be? I do not know any man. I'm a virgin. How is this going to be? How will this work out? She was asking for her knowledge gap to be filled. And the angel did fill that gap. So the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." In other words, the angel is saying, "Look, Mary, this is not a normal birth. Look, Mary, what is happening here is God the Son coming into the world, and you will be used to bring forth this child. So a man is not needed in this process. This entire operation shall be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, so that the child to be conceived really is the child of the Most High God, God Himself." That is how the angel filled Mary's knowledge gap in terms of how the conception was to happen. And at that, this was Mary's last response. Having had her questions answered, this was Mary's last response. She says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled. I am the Lord's servant. Brothers and sisters, this is the only reasonable response to the message that the king is coming. Mary's response is to position herself in such a way that she would be used of the Lord. Mary's disposition is to say, do with me as you please. I am the Lord's servant. Notice that in saying that, Mary was first of all acknowledging who she is in view of who God is. But in using the present tense, I am the Lord's servant, she was also saying, this has been my life. This is who I consider myself to be, the Lord's servant. You see, a servant has no will of her own. A servant has no agenda of her own. You see, a servant's schedule is dependent on the master's schedule. The servant's plan is dependent on the master's plan. And let me take you back to tie some loose bolts here, or to tie some things here. Remember, this is a woman who's betrothed to be married. She has plans. In fact, we can even say she has a fixed plan. She has a very clear schedule of how her life is going to be in a few months or weeks. And then the angel comes with this message, and because Mary viewed herself as a servant, she is happy to realign. She is happy to put her plans, if they have to be, on hold, or to be cancelled completely and to accommodate this mission from the Most High, from the Master of the Universe. Mary did not say, I will be the Lord's servant, future, but I am the Lord's servant. This has been our life's disposition. I am the Lord's servant. This is how I've lived my life. In God's will, going where God wants me to go. If God says, I want to send you this side, I go because I am the Lord's servant. But in saying that, Mary was also acknowledging that who she is, her frame, and everything about her is owned by the Lord. She was saying, this body of mine that I have, indeed, including my womb, belongs to who? To God. I am not my own. I belong to God in life and in death. I am the Lord's servant. Mary, in this response, is giving honor to the message that the angel has delivered. That the one who's coming is the King of Kings. When a king is coming, you realign. You know, for argument's sake, in our not so perfect understanding of kingship, maybe let's use the equivalent of a president. After this service, we go out of this building and then we hear that for some strange reason, the president wants to visit this place. We would all line up and behave accordingly. Just in security detail, the police vehicles around. You will see police vehicles that you don't normally see. Just that will tell you, behave in a certain way. You put on a certain disposition, that of humility before the president as he walks around, maybe greeting people or is just somewhere. You will have a certain posture. Even if you are in opposition, you will at least behave. This is the president of the land. What more the King of Kings? What more the Most High? What more the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is coming, has come to usher in a kingdom that never ends. What is the only acceptable response to this news? Well, friends, it is that we give ourselves wholly to Him as His servants. In doing so, we are acknowledging that He must rule every part of our lives. He must reign. His will must be done, not my will. His plans must be accomplished, not my plans. His schedule we must follow and not our schedules. This servant's disposition also captures the heart of worship. That our response to Him is to give Him praise, to give Him honor, to give Him adoration, because we are His servants. He is the King. That's the reason part of what we read in the incarnation story is worship. The shepherds, when they heard the news, they bowed down and worshiped. And when they went to see the child, what is it that they did? They paid homage. They worshiped. Why? Because He is King and we are servants. It's the owner of this kingdom that we belong to. And so, for us that are Christians, may the practical outworkings of what it means to be a servant be true in us and about us. That, friends, we will be willing to be inconvenienced because the King is in need of us. The King wants us. That would say, what is it that needs to be done at this particular moment in time? Where do I need to go at this particular moment in time? Well, if the King needs you in His house, because it's time to worship, that you will come. You see, because a servant, like we mentioned, does not put his or her agenda first. Just like, please don't lose sight of the fact that Mary was betrothed to be married. She had a plan. A plan she willingly, and remember, this is before she knows that Joseph will be visited by the angel, so that, you know, God just aligns everything. This is before that. She has already resolved. She has already determined. God, do with me as you please. I'm your servant. My womb belongs to you. She had given herself to God before she knew what Joseph would say about the situation. And the scriptures are very kind in telling us that Joseph was uncomfortable. In fact, he was planning on doing what most of us men would do, until God visited him as well. Let me end with this. Those of you that are not Christians, Again, this is the only response that God desires from you. That you bow your knee and worship. That you acknowledge your rebellion before God. Come in repentance and begin to worship this God. You give your life to this God, that you become a servant because the King has come. You see, according to the Gospel of Matthew, the very first message when Jesus began his public ministry was a message of command. And what was the message? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. This is the King who has come, dear friends. And he's making that very clear. The gospel invitations, though every now and then we present them, you know, in a way that we are begging, you know, kind of like we are begging. Jesus is pleading. Yes, of course, he pleads with us because he's tender and gentle. But really, the gospel message is a command. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Friends, if you are a rebel and the King must reign, one of you must be destroyed. And it is not the King. It is the rebel. You must acknowledge that you have lived your life in rebellion to this King. You must acknowledge that you have not acknowledged the kingship of this Jesus Christ that we have been preaching about. This message that has been preached for the past 2,000 years plus, that you have not listened to that message. You must acknowledge that rebellion. You must acknowledge that you have ignored this King of Kings, but you now come to him in humility, in repentance to him. Listen to how Hebrews chapter 2 puts it. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation that was first of all preached to us by the angels and then confirmed by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? In other words, the Bible throughout acknowledges the kingship of God, the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the only acceptable response for every mankind is to worship him, is to repent of their failure to worship him, to repent of their rebellion, because that's what sin is. John chapter 1 says, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But to those who received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. My prayer is that you, right now, you are in the right relationship with the King of Kings. And if not, we continue praying for you that God would arrest your heart and that you'd give your heart to this King. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and reign by conquering sin on the cross, so that he would win our hearts and reign in our hearts forevermore. So that he would conquer sin and the grave and so establish his kingdom forever. May we worship you from the heart. May you give us this disposition of Mary to be your servants, to say we are your servants. And that after we've done everything, to say like the disciples, we are unworthy servants who've only done our duty because we acknowledge your kingship. May you be honored. In Jesus' name.